I want to look for a minute at a very simple statement that's made in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. And the Bible never changes. The Word of God is steadfast. But sometimes, due to the changing of situations, maybe some of the verses lose the impact that they had at the time that they were written. And I believe this is a verse that maybe is not as powerful to us when we read it as it should be and as it was meant to be when Paul wrote it. And I want us to think about this verse for a few minutes here and hopefully add some of that power back to this verse and make us think of it maybe in a way that we sometimes don't. Romans 8, 37, the very simple statement, it says, "Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Paul writes to Christians in Rome, both Jews and Gentiles, in his letter to the Romans here. And as we see this statement that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, I think as we read that verse, it doesn't convey a lot of power to us today. Because when we think of being a conqueror, maybe we think of a video game or a bad habit that we conquer or something like that. But Paul's writing to Romans here. And if anybody throughout the history of time knows about conquerors, it's Rome. This in the heyday of the Roman Empire. And as he conveys this thought to them of being more than conquerors, can you imagine the power that that statement had to the people right there in Rome, right at that time? And I think that's the message that Paul wanted to convey in this, a powerful statement to them that we are more than conquerors. We are more powerful than the Roman Empire. And I think as we read that verse, we don't really pick up on that powerful message that's behind this statement. That through Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. We're more than the Roman Empire. Sometimes we don't feel that, do we? But those people that he wrote to, you know, they had seen it all. They had seen stuff that we cannot even imagine as people there in Rome. And no doubt the stories that they heard coming back from the other side of the Mediterranean Sea where the battle was raging and the empire just kept conquering more and more territories and growing and becoming probably the strongest empire at least up until that time, if not ever, in the world as far as conquering the known world at the time. And so as Paul writes to Christians, he said, you can be more than that. You can be more than a conqueror of a territory. You can be more than the most powerful human being on the face of the earth. And so when we read this verse, sometimes I don't think we get that message from it, just how special the gifts that we have in Christ are, the power that we're given through Jesus Christ and the great gift that was given to us in sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Of course, it comes down to execution after that. We're given that promise that we can be more than conquerors. But how do we do that? How do we take advantage of that gift that is given us, that promise that we can be stronger than the Roman Empire, that we can be more than conquerors? And I want to just look at briefly at a few different thoughts that we think about as becoming conquerors, more than conquerors, taking advantage of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ and the power that we have in so doing. How can we be more than conquerors? Well, first and foremost, we have to conquer a great enemy. We have to conquer Satan and sin. Of course, sin by Satan entered into the world as he tempted man, and man sinned. And the impact of that sin is great because it separates us from God. And it's really the only thing that can separate us from God. The only thing that can come between us and God's love for us is sin. So when that sin got between us and God, God had to make a way to get that sin back out of the way. And he did that through Jesus Christ, the great gift for us that we can be more than conquerors. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. These are verses we often think about when we think about sin and the impact of that as it relates to our relationship with God. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." That's the impact of sin. So if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we're going to be more than conquerors. We have to conquer sin. And he's given us just the way to do that. That's what makes us more than conquerors. The fact that he gave his son to die for us, to allow us for our face not to be hid from him, for our iniquities not to separate us from him. Regardless of how successful that we could be, those great military leaders, no matter how successful they are, if they don't conquer sin, the victories that they have are immaterial. They're temporary. And that's why we can be more than conquerors, because not only it's not so much that we can conquer a territory, but we can conquer the greatest enemy of all. We can conquer Satan. And that's what Jesus' gift to us is. That's why he tells us that we can be more than conquerors. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47. There's a lot of different verses we could read for this, but we're just going to look at that verse as we could really look at the Great Commission in different instances. But looking at Luke 24, 46 and 47, he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So this is the way back to God. This is the way to take those iniquities out of the way that separate us from him, is through Jesus Christ. And his plan was that Christ would suffer and die and raise the third day and become victorious. And we're going to look at some of that in our Bible study. But then that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. That's the way we become conquerors over sin. And in order for us to conquer, then we have to have the appropriate weaponry. And that's always been important throughout the history of the world. The one with the best weapons wins. Usually you can overcome a great deficit in numbers if you have the proper weapons and the proper leadership. We have both. We have the greatest of both. We have the greatest weapons and we have the greatest leadership that you can ever have. And that helps us to become more than conquerors. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 tells us there that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So kind of the same reference to us being conquerors and us being wielding powerful weapons by which we can become more than conquerors. We often look at Ephesians chapter 6 and we talk about putting on the whole armor of God. And so it shows us both how to defend, but it also talks about the sword of the Spirit. And that's a weapon that we have. And it's good to look at all those verses. I'm not going to do that just for lack of time. But down towards the end of that reading, I think verse 17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So it shows us there the offensive weapon. He's really been talking about the defensive weapons that we have to protect us against the fiery darts that Satan hurls at us, the wiles of the devil. And then he talks just right at the end here about the sword of the Spirit. And that's both our defensive weapon and our offensive weapon. And that's what we have that allows us to become more than conquerors. We can read more about that weapon, that sword, in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. And again, it uses the allusion of a sword. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So we have a very powerful weapon that we as Christians need to wield. And what do we do with that weapon? Where do we carry the word of God, the sword of the Spirit? You know, do we try to conceal that weapon, or do we carry it openly and proudly that we can use it in the way that God intends us to use it? Well, it's only through the use of it that we can do what God wants us to do and become more than conquerors. So we need to think about that and the great weapon that he has given us and the way in which we need to use it. And we have a great captain, and we have orders from that captain. We need to follow those orders. That's another thing that's vital in a military operation, is that one follows the commands that's given to them by their superiors. And Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through his sufferings." So we see the nature of our commanding officer, if you will. He was made perfect through the plan of God, through the things that he suffered. Because Jesus wanted to restore us to that point, to take away that sin that separated us from him and give us a way back to him. So we have the captain of our salvation. We have Jesus, who suffered and died for us, that he might become that leader that can help us in our efforts to become more than conquerors. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, again, verses we're familiar with, says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." So again, we see that it's through obedience to the captain of our salvation that we can become more than conquerors. I guess probably the greatest message to us as we think about what we have to do to become more than conquerors is we have to fight. We can't just sit there and wait for it to happen. And sometimes as Christians, maybe we tend to sit back and wait to see what's going to happen. And I speak to myself before anyone else. But sometimes, you know, we allow so many things to affect us mentally and psychologically. We let things stand in our way. We become discouraged easy. And we need to understand that it is about being more than conquerors. And if we're going to do that, it's about fighting. It's about fighting for the great gifts that God has given us and making him proud of us in our obedience to the captain of our salvation. So we're fighting for not a territory, not a city, but we're fighting for a greater treasure. The treasure that's laid up for us in heaven, an eternal life. Revelation 2 and 10 that we look at real often refers to it as a crown of life, the great treasure that we're fighting for, what we're trying to conquer. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we see the nature of the fight there as it begins, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." You see, it's talking about fighting that fight in order to be successful, to lay hold of eternal life. So we see in this that we need to fight. We need to actively engage using that weaponry that's given to us, following the orders of the captain of our salvation, that we might gain the victory, be more than conquerors. We need to contend earnestly. Jude 1 and 3 says, "When I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And what is the result when we do those things and we do fight under the command of the captain of our salvation, wielding those weapons, diligently pursuing the victory? And that is when we become more than just a conqueror. We have more than just additional territory. We have more than just power. We have the greatest victory of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I won't read all of these verses again because of lack of time. But it goes through and talks about death and the sting of death, but the victory that is ours through our faith. And about verse 57 says, "Thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory over death. Can you imagine that? You know, that's something that we can't escape. We can't escape the reality of death that entered into the world as a result of sin. But we can be victorious over it. And this is the way, through obedience to the Lord and taking advantage of the great gifts that He has given us, that we might become conquerors. We will read, as a way of closing, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7, as we see the picture of that great victory. It says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And He said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." More than conquerors. And so we see the power of that verse when we put it in the context of thinking about the Roman Empire and the great power that those people witnessed on a daily basis. And Paul's making the point that it's greater than that, this victory that is available to us. We can become more than conquerors. Hope this has been helpful, and I appreciate your attention as we think about those things.